May I have your attention then, please? Thank you. Good afternoon, members of Synod, ecumenical friends and visitors. We come to item 5 on the agenda, which is a presentation on the Anglican Consultative Council, which took place in Lusaka in April of this year. So I invite Maggie Swinson and Stephen Cottrell to share their experiences with us. Thank you.
Margaret Swinson, I'm number 348. I hope that there will be a loop of some photographs which will run on the screens. Yep, that looks good. The 16th meeting of the Anglican Consultative Council took place this year in Lusaka, capital of Zambia, and part of the province of Central Africa, which comprises Botswana, Malawi, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. The Church of England was represented by myself, the Bishop of Chelmsford, Rose Hudson-Wilkin, and Elizabeth Paver was present in her capacity as Vice Chair of the ACC, and the Archbishop of Canterbury was there being himself. Bishop Stephen will talk more about the theme of the meeting, but I'd like to start by offering a few personal reflections. We have received a question from a member, and that will be answered at the end of the presentation. For the province of Central Africa and the country of Zambia, holding our meeting was what my vicar would call big licks. The importance of the meeting was evident in the attention to detail, the yards of this material here that had been specially produced, special vestments for the bishops, hospitality at various receptions, and the welcome we received in the parishes we visited on the second Sunday. We were welcomed with choirs and bands wherever we went, and as we boarded the buses for the journey home to the airport, we were serenaded again by a choir, one at each of the hotels. The Zambian vice president spoke at the first of the dinners, and the president himself attended and spoke at the opening Eucharist, giving up a whole morning for the service and the march past which follows, evidence of the importance of our visit to the country and not just to the church. It is a province that does not yet ordain women, but the primate gave special permission for women to preside at our daily lunchtime Eucharist, and a number of the ordained women on the ACC preached in the parishes we visited to an enthusiastic reception. Our worship and study together was the framework in which the ACC met, providing an unparalleled opportunity each day to study the Book of Ruth together, using drama and art as well as the written word. I was on a table with bishops from Australia, Sudan, the Old Catholic Church in Harlem, and Japan, a bishop who had a translator with him, with priests from South Korea and Liberia, and with one of the youth representatives who was from South Africa. Through our study and conversation, we discovered many shared joys and challenges, and many that were particular to our local circumstances. The devastation to local communities when large employers move into and then out of small towns in Australia. The ongoing issues facing the area hit by the earthquake and tsunami in Japan, where people still live in temporary accommodation and the land is highly radioactive. The challenging relationship between neighbouring nations with North and South Korea. The multiplicity of challenges facing Sudan, and, which was probably the most surprising thing to me, the reality that young women in some tribes in South Africa are still at risk of abduction and forced marriage if they go out alone in rural areas, and, rural or not, effectively lose their identity on marriage, not just changing surnames, but being given new first names. These are realities facing our brothers and sisters in the communion, the ones that I heard about, but others on other tables will have heard of different situations again. Although I had been part of a parish with mission partners, well, they were called missionaries in those days, it wasn't until I experienced the breadth of the communion at a meeting of the Anglican Communion representatives at the World Council of Churches in Canberra in 1991 that the communion became a reality to me, a reality in my life and my heart rather than just in my head. It became something to work for, something which I saw had a strong spiritual value. Subsequent experiences through the ACC and other cross-province engagement I've been privileged to experience have increased my commitment to and enthusiasm for our communion, in spite of the difficulties which it experiences over some issues, which of course are issues that divide us within our provinces and divide many other provinces too. One of our challenges, whether as members of the ACC, members of the Synod, or members of local churches, is to foster an understanding of the communion which reflects its reality, the reality of a worldwide family of about 85 million Christians in 165 countries under one Jesus Christ. Yes, we have different views on some things, within and without and between provinces, but we also have an opportunity to make a difference through our common work, witness, and mutual support.
Stephen Cottrell, Bishop of Chelmsford, number 11. The theme of our meeting was intentional discipleship in a world of difference. Sadly, we didn't spend as much time discussing this theme as I would have liked, but since the ACC is the nearest thing the Anglican Communion has to a synod and the only regular opportunity once every 3 years for bishops, clergy, and lay people from every province in the Anglican Communion to meet together, there is just lots of other stuff to discuss. But neither did we spend 10 days discussing sex and Americans, as some commentators had suggested we might. The big news about the meeting was actually rather dull. Virtually everybody came, and we spent 10 days discussing issues of mission and discipleship, and enjoying what unites us, our worship of God and our following Jesus Christ. Yes, there are differences of opinion on all sorts of subjects, but there is also an astonishingly deep foundation of unity, which is all about God and his call to us in Christ, and not really very much about us at all. Surprise, surprise, the Anglican Communion really is a family. That is, like all families, we quarrel, we disagree, we make up, and our love for each other and our belonging to each other is what really matters and is what keeps us together. In this family, water is thicker than blood. Our baptismal identity trumps all our other belongings. And discipleship is at the centre and was at the centre of this ACC meeting, resonating with our own priorities as a Church of England. And one of the resolutions from the ACC calls upon us to make discipleship a priority and to consider whether some sort of season of discipleship might be helpful, and this is something in due course we will need to look at. The report which prepared the way for the conference, Intentional Discipleship and Disciple Making, an Anglican Guide to Christian Life and Formation, which is published by the ACC and available from their offices, is to be highly recommended. It looks at discipleship from different perspectives, both historically and from around the churches of the Anglican Communion. It particularly provides a stimulating summary of what successive Lambeth conferences have said on the subject. I was particularly moved to read how the 1998 Lambeth Conference asserted that unless Christians are encouraged corporately to go to school with Christ, to be nourished by teaching and sacrament, and to grow up into his likeness, they cannot bear the fruits of discipleship. As such, the church is a school in which the gift of teaching is acknowledged, but in which all the teachers are themselves learners, and that the church is to be a teaching community not simply for its own sake, but for the sake of its mission in the world. Already in the Chelmsford Diocese, we are picking up on this idea of the church as a school for disciples, and this may have some wider resonances across the Church of England. How would church be if we reimagined what we do, and I mean what we do on Sunday mornings, around the injunction of the Lord to make disciples? What else did I take home from 2 weeks in Lusaka? Well, first, the fantastic hospitality of the Zambian church and people and the joyful exuberance of their worship, especially the singing. Zambian Christians have concocted a heady brew of Catholic Anglicanism, charismatic renewal, and African song and dance. It was infectious. Secondly, studying the scriptures each day with a small group of Christians from all over the world not only taught me how we bring to and take from the scriptures our own cultural perspectives, but in showing me how the Bible speaks to and challenges every culture, I am more convinced than ever that discipleship is not an exam to be passed, but better understood as a tree to be planted. Too often, we in the West see discipleship as a program and unwittingly end up with a two-tier church, those who've done the program and then the rest of us. You know, that kind of terrible, that so-and-so's a real Christian kind of thing. Rather, discipleship is something planted and to be nurtured. Thirdly, I have been reminded that culture is not linear, in the sense that there is progress from so-called less developed cultures to so-called advanced ones. We are genuinely in different places, and from these different perspectives, see things differently, even the Bible. Therefore, we need to walk together, to talk together, to listen together, and to learn together. The fact that we did this at ACC 16 is a triumph. The triumph of the gospel, and therefore the triumph of love. The Anglican Communion is alive and well. It is strong, not in spite of its differences, but because of them. We are a church that at our best does not try to paper over cracks or exclude those who in their own faithful discipleship see some things differently. Of course, there will be consequences to this, and we search to find ways of navigating our way through these together. In the Anglican Communion, our dirty washing hangs in public. But as W.H. Auden once wrote, private faces in public places are better and wiser than public faces in private places. He was, of course, an Anglican. And finally, we did have one question from a member of the Synod, which Maggie's going to briefly address.
We had a question regarding the participation of the Episcopal Church in the ACC in light of the decision of the Primates meeting. The communique from the primates meeting said, and I'm quoting here, "It is our unanimous desire to walk together. However, given the seriousness of these matters, we formally acknowledge this distance by requiring that for a period of 3 years, the Episcopal Church no longer represent us on ecumenical and interfaith bodies, should not be appointed or elected to an internal standing committee, and that while participating in the internal bodies of the Anglican Communion, they will not take part in decision-making on any issues pertaining to doctrine or polity. The presence and standing of TEC and, as participants in the ACC in Lusaka is fully consistent with that communique. Members did not stand for election to the standing committee, but were able to vote for the chair, vice chair, and standing committee as that is consistent with the communique. There was no requirement for any sanction or rebuke to be delivered to TEC by the ACC, and the ACC did not address any matters by way of its resolutions which pertained to doctrine or polity and would therefore have excluded the participation of TEC."
Thank you very much indeed. That was most interesting, enlightening and encouraging. So, members of Synod, that concludes this item of business. We will move to the next item on the agenda, the report by the Business Committee, in a moment. Thank you.